outlier moves. Rethinking the path to success.
Have you ever wondered what happens to a great idea no one acts on? Does it just evaporate into a forgotten notebook or a late night chat? I think about that a lot. In filmmaking, for every script that becomes a movie, thousands collect dust. They were all ideas once, some were brilliant. They just never crossed the gap from thought to thing. That leap has always felt like modern alchemy to me. And it's not just Hollywood. Everywhere you look, there are unconventional alchemists who know how to turn a hunch into something that matters. How do they do it? What's their actual move? From what I've seen, the move is surprisingly unromantic. It isn't a lightning bolt, it's discipline. It starts with switching from, I've got a genius idea, I should build the whole thing, to a quieter question. I have a hypothesis, how do I test it? Treat the idea like a theory that needs proof. The tool for that is the MVP, the minimum viable product. Not a clunky half build, but the smallest thing that teaches you whether anyone truly needs what you're making. Maximum learning, minimum effort. That takes judgment. Take one example. In 2015, a team in Sydney built a farm robot called Ripper. The tech hypothesis got checked off fast. Its sensors and software could tell weeds from crops. Great, but the business hypothesis was still a mystery. Would it survive mud and weather? Would anyone pay for it? Could it keep up with the chaos of a real farm? Proving code is one thing, proving usefulness is the whole game. The MVP exists to test reality, not just functionality. That matters because the most common startup death isn't bugs or empty bank accounts. It's building something people don't urgently need. Testing first is a safety rail. Fail small on paper before you fail big in public. Don't build and pray, check demand, then build. But testing in the open has a shadow side. You're not in a lab. You're on a street with competitors and customers watching. Put your hypothesis out there and you're pointing to the treasure map. Move too slowly and a larger player can thank you for the research and out-execute you. There's another risk. First impressions. Viable used to mean barely enough. Today, with infinite alternatives a click away, barely enough reads as not worth my time. Early, clumsy touchpoints don't just invalidate a theory, they stain your reputation. People don't see a minimum anything. They just see bad and they don't return. That's why the language has shifted. Folks push back on minimum and talk about map, minimum awesome product, or the idea of simple, lovable, and complete. I like that pivot. It says the job isn't to prove a function. It's to deliver a small, emotionally satisfying slice of the end vision. Not a blueprint, one finished room. It still solves a problem, but it also creates a feeling, a connection. And that connection is the piece rivals can't clone overnight. So here's the tightrope. On one side, the disciplined need to test assumptions, learn fast, waste less, avoid building for a phantom customer. On the other, the human reality that first impressions decide futures. People don't fall for a hypothesis, they fall for an experience. That's why viable giving way to awesome or lovable isn't wordplay, it's a different philosophy. The real alchemy isn't just turning an idea into a product, it's infusing that product with a point of view, with soul. Features can be copied in a week. A felt connection is harder to steal and becomes the durable edge. So maybe the question for anyone staring at a page of notes isn't, well, what's the minimum I can build to see if this works? Maybe it's, yeah, what's the smallest, most beautiful, most complete experience I can offer that lets someone glimpse the world I'm trying to build? Give them that single finished room. If they love that, they'll trust you with the rest of the house. Thanks for spending this time with me. Go make something people can love.